Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. Just before we start this episode, I'm just asking a little favour. I really appreciate the hours some of you are investing into the channel, certainly watching the videos. But to help the channel grow, what I would love for you to do is hit the subscribe button if you enjoy the channel. And if there's any particular podcast you enjoy, please hit the thumbs up for like button. It will do massive things for the channel if we can do that. And thank you very much for your continued support and feedback. Now, you spoke about Scotland. Two caps, is that right?
Aye, just the two.
And what age were you at the time when you got your first one?
It was 1920. I think it was against Colombia at Hampden. And then there was Malta as well. I think we were over in Malta. So it came at a young age. But as I say, then I kind of, again, a wee period where, as I say, I was, the discipline wasn't great. But again, I wish, you know, one or two people had kind of, maybe been a wee bit harder, come down on me like a ton of bricks, but at the end of the day, it comes down to yourself. It's about you, but and so I could have done things differently there. But the injuries as well, I was curtailed because I dislocated my shoulders a couple of times, and I had to kind of even come back for a dislocated shoulder. It can affect you a wee bit. It's not like you're injured for 2 months. But you get the operation, you come back, rehab, you don't just go in and play. There's always a wee bit of kind of fear factor, you know, you're going to get clouted and it's going to go again. So it took a wee bit kind of longer, you know, to kind of adjust. But that's football. You pick up injuries, that's part of the game.
Anybody that's had zero injuries in their career has probably not played any games in their career. It's, you know, it's just, you're going to get it, aren't you?
It's just... sometimes it's the way you're made as well, you know. I know we're talking about him quite a lot, and quite rightly so. If we Geranti doesn't have that knee, you know, that knee opera, like Hampty's knee, I don't know how to describe that there, because it was absolutely horrific. Because he was the fittest guy that I knew. I don't think he would have picked up like hamstrings or quad injuries or any other injuries just for that tackle. But so sometimes you've got guys that are fortunate like that just go through their career without injuries. I think the way I was kind of made, I was always going to pick up injuries. I was always kind of accident prone as a youngster as well. Do you know what? I was always in the Royal, getting stitches and that, and four and a half of things, and half a bikes and that, and four and a half of wars and all that. Just so, I don't know, maybe I was probably just kind of, it's still happening this day and age.
That's because you're getting old, but.
Aye, old and dittery and stupid. And
see, you get back to Scotland thing. Do you think it was some of the off-field stuff that curtailed your two caps? Because, I mean, you're undoubtedly good enough, even at your early 20s, and I know it was a different era, and the Scottish team back then was probably undisputedly better than the Scotland teams that we've had, particularly over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But Do you feel that it was that that was affecting your selection for the national team then? And it certainly couldn't have been your ability or your performance.
I think it was a mixture of quite a few things. You know, been in the paper a wee bit too much for the wrong reasons, picking up a few injuries as well. And I don't know if I should say this, but I will. I don't think he would mind. I was pulled out a few squads as well. And you've got, this is, some fans or some people will find this hard to understand. My be-all and end-all was, at that time, was Rangers. So at times, the gaffer, Graham, he wanted us to be fit for the next Rangers game that would be coming up. And he would say, listen, and whether he had a wee strain or something, he says, I don't want you to go. And I could have went, but he would like, listen, I'd really, you leave it and make sure you're fit for the next upcoming Rangers game. And I kind of leaned to what, he was my gaffer, you know, and but then again, it was my decision. So should I have went to the Scotland squad, made myself available? Absolutely. But then if you look at the other side, I'm young, I'm living my dream in terms of I just want to give everything to Rangers. So I didn't turn up at a few squads where I should have. So main worst enemy. But that comes with experience as well.
You don't sound as if you get any regrets about it, to be fair, Derek. You know, you got to play for your country. That's a thing that 99.999% of football players don't get to do.
Aye.
So, you know, you got there, you know, you were good enough, but you don't seem bitter in any way that it was
no,
only twice.
No, and that's what I'm trying to, what can I say, for that side and then for this side, I just wanted to make sure I was available for Rangers, for Graham Souness. I just wanted to, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that give you the contract. That's who I wanted to play with. I wanted to give you everything, you know. So, you make decisions in your life. Sometimes you don't get them right, but I don't regret it. I mean, I make decisions in this day and age. I still don't get them right, but I could have had more caps. I should, well, no more caps. That's wrong. What I'm saying, I should have been in more squads. That's for sure, but. But that was partly down to a few things. So injuries and discipline and maybe being a bit daft.
Just brought Souness' name up.
Ah, brilliant.
Looking at your managers, John Gregg gave you the game against Swansea. Was he still there when you got into your first league game, or was John, was that
no, Wallace? Greggy was there for the first season. So I've got everything to thank John Gregg. As I say, he gave me my first contract. Gave me my first opportunity, and I loved it. And he was different for the player that Greggy was. Totally on that field, he was an absolute animal. You wouldn't mess with him. But you know, away from that side of it, talking to you, coaching, he was quite quiet, unassuming. You know, just but again, somebody you respect. So I owe everything to John Gregg. So I do. Absolute. Again, that word legend, man. Absolutely. I mean, I worked for three legends. Greggy, Big Jock, and Graham. I mean, my God. I think back and then, you're saying pinching. I pinch myself when I go, can't I believe I played under they guys? Isn't it?
You still sometimes see it soon as Nutella and think, Christ, he was my gaffer.
I bumped into him. I love Graham. I love listening to him. Right. I think he knows the game inside out. Brings that aura. Well, I met him, was it last year, a year and a half ago? We were doing a gig. I'll not even mention too much about it, but I was in his company for about 15, 20 minutes before we went on to stage, and he was class. Just he looked well, went very well. Come in, he actually said to me, he's like, you're still in decent nick. And I'm like, oh, cheers, gaffer. But it's just lovely to see him because, and this is where I can put a few things to people, because Graham got me out of the club, and he had to. It was the right decision. People think I would have this hatred or this hate for him. Absolutely not. All I've got is respect, because when he first took the job, he gave me another 2 year in my contract, and he put my wages up as well. And I was going to be part of his plans, but again, we've just spoke about it, why I wasn't part of his plans, because of that the discipline and the injuries. But he was a winner. He just wanted the best. So he was always going to be bringing in certain players. Or if you weren't up to scratch, you know, he doesn't mess about. But that 15, 20 minutes then out on stage, it was magical. Aye.
See, I think you touched on it. There is a misconception. I think if you stopped 100 Rangers fans in the street and said, why did you leave Rangers? Soonest hated them, right? Mm-hmm. That would be the sort of perception at the time. But a couple of things. One, it's not true. And no. Two, was it 1990 you left Rangers?
Aye.
He was there for 86. Do you know what I mean?
That's
4 years. If he didn't like you, you know, he's better than anybody. You wouldn't have lasted 10 minutes.
Aye. And it was like two or three times I had meetings with him in the office, just me and him, and it was brilliant. So it was. There you go. Me, you, Derek, you, Fergie, Bill Arnott, sitting in the office with Graham Souness, you know, having a wee chin wag. It was brilliant, you know, and just talking football. It was absolutely. And then Phil would come in, Phil Bosmer, or Watty would come in. It was magic. So it's even wee things like that. And that's what that kind of, when I met up with him and I bumped into him for that 10, 15 minutes, it's like nothing changes. It's still the same. The respect, I mean, the respect's always going to be there, even though he let me go. And that's only, you get a wee bit, of course, you're upset, you're a wee bit angry because you don't want to leave Rangers. But even a year or two down the line, you think it was the right decision. So it was probably the right decision for him, probably for me as well at that time. But nah, he was a class act, wasn't he?
So you're in the changing rooms, right, or at training or wherever you were when you heard the news, Souness is coming. Where were you and what goes through your head?
I think Coisty kind of like to think is, and the usual you get rumours and that, but you're going like that, you can't manage us, and then you're going like, and you're sitting, you're talking with Lisa, with Geranti and a few other boys, and you can see there's a wee bit of worried looks around the dressing room. From my point of view, I can't speak for Vigilante, Big Nizzy and all that, mere excitement, because he's not just coming to managers, he's going to be player manager. Well, come on. So you're going to get the opportunity to play with Graham Souness. So you're like that, kind of, oof, can't believe it. But then again, then you go, he plays in my position. You're going,
I might go to right mid again.
I might go wide right. So that might be a problem, but not at all. You know, and just the way he kind of carried himself, the way he was in training, everything about him, you know, it was amazing. And then we go to that first game, you know, he made the statement through at Hibs, through at Easter Road. I was on the bench with Big Nizzy. I remember Walter saying to us, you know, just watch the gaffer the day, you know, try and take wee bits for him. And he's just done McCluskey. He's rattled about three or four of them, by the way. But you know what I loved about that game? Because they tried to do him. There was Kirkwood, the boy Kirkwood, there was Beattie, there was Chisholm, Cowan. They all were trying to do him. And one by one, he just swatted them away. And he was just patrolled that midfield area until they get into that wee kind of stramash. Because I think it was Kirkwood trying to do him. And then he just got up and then he just went for McCluskey. I don't know if people remember us, because I was sitting on the bench with Nizzy. See, as he was getting sent off and he was walking past, I was actually applauding him. I was like, and he go, well done, gaffer. Different class. Well, he was mental. But he said after the game, he went, we get beat, because we get beat that day 2-1. He says, nobody will bully us. He says, we've put out a statement today. So that's the way we go about our business.
Aye. Used to just love him pointing at the ball every time a referee came looking for him.
Aye.
He would just go, I've got the ball. Aye. Mind the ball, was it Bucharest? He's absolutely. And then as the boy turned, he's made his mind up before the game, I'm doing him. He's done the boy, and as the boy spun round, he looked, he went, shit, I've done the wrong man. It was the wrong number.
Is that the one at Ibrox? No, the one at Ibrox they've scored, and the boy, he's not happy with this guy. And normally for kickoff, he doesn't take the ball, the gaffer. He doesn't want the ball, but he wanted the ball this night. And I remember him taking the ball into feet for kickoff, or just went a goal. And he passes it to the boy.
He made it look as if he's miscontrolled it, so that boy got it.
And the boy gets it, and then, well, the rest is, it just goes. And I'm like, I actually went, oh, yeah. Bugger, yeah, it's that. I mean, and I'm going, that's nuts, man. But that's just the way it was at times. You didn't mess with him. There you did. But again, on the park, But away from the park, I thought he was I was going to say he was like a pussycat. Like, that's not the right term.
No.
He was brand new. He wasn't. I didn't fear him.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't like sometimes you, but there's that respect. There's that kind of. He's got that aura about him, and it's kind of. It made me smile. You know, when you're in his company, in his presence, it's like being in Coops. It made you smile. It made you kind of. It's just quite cool. This is a game. I love this.
So when it's coming to the end of your time at Rangers,
mm-hmm.
How did that news get delivered?
It was the gaffer. It said to us that Hearts were interested, and I right away says, well, I'm no. I says, I'm no good. I still a year, I think, my contract. And he was at me for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I was like, I says, gaffer, I'm no for me. I'm no want to go. I'm not interested. He says, go through and speak to them. Wallace Mercer, it was. So I did go through out of respect because they had contacted them. But even in the meeting, they took us out to show us where, because they wanted me to move to Edinburgh for some reason. Because I think Wallace Mercer, because at that time, I was portrayed as this bad boy, this crazy man that was out every night of the week. It wasn't true. I did enjoy myself, but I wasn't bad. So you said you could stay here. And in my mind, I'm going, nah, I'll just go back. But it was the gap when I went back to the gaffer. He says, listen, you're not going to play next season. He says, you'll be with the reserves most of the time. So I had a wee short conversation with my dad. My dad was like, what do you want to do? At the end of the kind of week, you want to play football, don't you? And so it was a hard decision. So I thought.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
But I'll go, and I knew there was a few of the ex-Rangers boys there and all. So sang the same songs, didn't they, as well? So
you know,
I loved it. Because I enjoyed my time at Hearts. I absolutely loved it. The 3 years I was there. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was. But it was probably the right thing. Graham wanted me out. I didn't at the time, but then there came the realisation, I just want to play football, because I love football. And that was it. So,
you think, you're quite open and honest, you say, I made mistakes, I've done this, I've done that, I shouldn't. Do you think that helped Barry?
Of course, because he'd probably heard a lot about his big brother, you know, maybe some of the antics, so maybe gave him the drive that he needed. But he needed at times as well. He needed a wee kick up the backside. The kick up the backside was, I took him, didn't he? I was playing at Falkirk at the time. Barry was 18, 19, struggling to get into the first team under Walter. So I took him down on a Wednesday. He was off on a Wednesday. I was off on a Wednesday. So I picked him up, took him down to Brockville. I gave him a guided tour of Brockville, which took 2 fucking minutes, swearing out, because I got him outside and I went like that. I says, you remember where you're going back to tomorrow? I says, you're going back to Rangers, you're back to Ibrox. Have a wee look about you, because and I think I was just trying to shock him a wee bit. And that's, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Falkirk, because it was, they've got a lovely stadium now and they're a good club, but the place was crumbling. It was horrible at that time. So I was just trying to show him and go out. Listen, this is what you've got. Don't waste it. So partly a wee bit of that, he would have looked at me and went, he's made mistakes, I'll not make the mistakes. And then that was me just trying to reinforce it and go, listen, you don't want to be going here, there, or everywhere. Try and make it here at Rangers. you know, and sometimes you've got to be patient. I'm wasn't the most patient. Barry isn't he either. But I was just trying to get that message through to him.
What was the age difference between you two of you?
10 and a half, nearly 11 years. Aye. So you've got a kind of different relationship. You know, like, my boys are dead close. We're kind of, I was more like a kind of, like a father figure or like a kind of an uncle. I just, again, with Barry, just wanted to, I was desperate for him to be a football player, first and foremost. But then what he went on to be was unbelievable. Captain of Rangers, not just a Rangers first team player. Class as a legend, a top player, Scotland captain as well. A magnificent career. So he kind of surpassed everything. Now, it's just, like, and I don't know, you talk about your boys, you just want them to be a player. But then sometimes they just go a different stratosphere, and Barry just kicked on big time, which was magic.
Aye, and it's just bizarre how sometimes you get these families mixed. These, to be fair, there was two or three of them that could play at football. The McAdams, right? Tam and Colin, that's and right, stuff. Aye. And then you've got the Fergusons, and you've got yourself, your brother, and now your boy. And Barry's boy, you see, playing somewhere down south as well.
I think is it the is it a conference? He's down south. Aye. I'm not sure, but he's playing. He's playing at a good level.
I mean, is that just bizarre? Can he just all be genetics? Can he just be a fluke of nature?
Probably, and I have a laugh about this. Probably the best player in my family. He's an engineer.
Who's that?
Darren, my oldest. Shouldn't say this. He's a lazy bugger at times, and maybe that's he wasn't as driven. See, that's the other thing. You need all the wee bits and pieces. Yeah. No use having the most ability, or you've got the best touch, you see passes, you score goals. You need to have that mentality, that drive, that wee bit of devilment about you. And that comes with inside. Darren never probably had that, and probably Ross to a certain extent. But our Lewis would come in here and he'd be nice as pie he is. Then he'd knock the hell out of us, I know. If he had to, he's just like that. He's just the way he is. So he's got, you could see that in him. He had the knockback, for let go at 14 for Rangers, told he wasn't good enough. He took it in the chin and went, okay. So Aki's take him in. Loved his time at Aki's. Got his first team debut, 17, 18. And then he's just kicked on for there. But what a mentality he's got. Allied with he can play a bit, as we know now. He does a bit of everything. So, but he's so driven. You know, I don't need to worry. And a fantastic attitude. I think the one thing I would say that I've tried to do with my boys is make them good people, respectful. You know, whoever they're speaking to. You know, whether it's they were talking to the king. I was going to say the queen there. God bless you. But the king are somebody that's a down and out. You treat them the exact same. That's always been marking. That's the way I was brought up. So that's what my boys are like. And Lewis is like that. So he is.
See, I remember him playing against, it was Hamilton. Rangers were playing away. He played, would have been about 17, 18 at the time.
18. So be 18.
Aye, and I just remember seeing something there. And do you know, I said to a couple of pals, And it still rings true to this day. As you see that boy there, Rangers will realise he's good enough to play for Rangers when Rangers can't afford him to play for Rangers. And then I watched him at Aberdeen, and I didn't see that move coming, you know, abroad so early for him, and what a move it's turned out to be. And I said that when he was 17, 18, and I don't know, maybe it was because I've got, you know, such fond memories of you playing for Rangers when I was a kid watching you, and then obviously your brother playing, and that automatically gets you know, a wee bit more attention. And I probably watched his game more than I watched any other 18-year-old playing for Hamilton that day against Rangers. But I remember saying that, I said, yeah, boy, you're a player there. And I think there's sometimes a snobbery, certainly with the fans, and potentially with some people within the club, that if you're Johnny Foreigner at £3 million, there's more a chance you're playing for Rangers than a Lewis that could have cost us a couple of £100,000, if anything. And, you know,
Sometimes we're guilty, Craig. It's staring you right in the face, you know, and you should just go and get it. I thought there was an opportunity there. And you're right, sometimes I've seen a lot of stuff. My boys show me. They're on, the Facebook and all that, social media and all that. And some of the stuff that was getting says about Lewis, you know, and you're like, ah, like, never, he's never good enough and that. And that's fair enough. Everybody's got their own opinions. But I just kind of, myself, and it's no being blasé about it, I kind of know deep down that he is good enough. And in time, he would prove that. And he's done that. But I think credit to him is the way he's conducted himself as well, because sometimes on this social media, it'd be quite easy to react. But no, they are talking on the park, and that's what he's done. But I just think, not just with Lewis, I think there's some other players that are there that we have, like, kind of, have no went for when it's clear to see. It's if you, it's like, there it's there, go and get it, but oh no, it's not old. It's like on the park, sometimes it's play the easy pass, play the simple pass, and players go, oh, no, it's too easy, I'll look for the more difficult pass. No, just go and get it. And I think there's been opportunities, not just with Lewis, with other players, that we should look at the Scottish market at times a wee bit more. Look at Walter. Walter did it at times, and he done it brilliantly. So
I remember one of the ones, who was it we signed the same day? Two for Dundee United, Alec Cleland and the other one. Oh. Terrible, can't remember. And at the time, I thought that boy Alec Cleland no play much for us. Gary Bowen. But it was Alec Cleland that went on to have the bigger impact. But I think it, not so much when you were coming through, because the team was probably predominantly Glasgow and even Scottish. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on, and then it became quite an international team. And in the Advocate area, we've seen sometimes with a team with no Scots in it. Mm-hmm. And see, for that time forward, I spoke to Bob Malcolm about this a month or two ago. I said, I felt like it's you and Boris Ross and stuff, you know, at the same era, there might only have been two or three Scottish players in the team at that time. Mm-hmm. See, if you had one misplaced pass, and I'm talking about two or three degrees out, no sky in the bar, oh, the crowd would go for you. See if you were a wee winger for Italy.
Bobby Ancelotti or something. I know what you're saying. I had the experience with Barry. I was going to games when Barry was playing, and Barry would be playing terrifically well, but he would, if he played one loose pass, he would get stick, and I would be scratching my head and going like that. He's having a great game. And then, you're right, somebody that they spent a fortune on, big wages, if he made three or four mistakes, they weren't on his back. I know, it's a shame, but do you know, it's just the way it is. But I think, and it's just my opinion, that I think the Scottish, most of the Scottish guys can handle that. And that's what's a mess, because I sit, sometimes I do the podcast with wee Charlie as well. Sometimes that's what we have about us. We might not be the best players, but sometimes there's a wee gallousness about us. We've got a wee bit of belief about ourselves, and we're able to take that criticism. And that's why I'm saying we Lewis, because Lewis has had that. Lewis is a massive Rangers fan. He never misses a game, you know, and even though he's your by, sometimes he's like, and he's sitting there with his Rangers t-shirt on and all that. He loves Rangers. Anytime he's back, when was the last game he come back? And there he went himself to the game.
Is that right?
Aye, because the boys were playing. His two brothers were playing. So, and he just, he dived in. He got a ticket, last minute ticket. Right, and he said that. He says, a steward. And I was going in, kind of, was a wee double take. Because of the hood up and all that, and the old jaggy bonnet and that. He loves the Rangers, so he does.
Do you know, it was funny. Seville, right? Mm. Spent 4 days with a boy who's playing for an SPFL team now. Can't say his name because he's fucking... don't let him out. his own fans might give him a hard time. And we were staying in the resort a couple of years, maybe on the half away for 4 days. And then the day of the game, we get the bus up. So we had to jump in to this hotel. He was picking his tickets up. Yeah. An agent or something had in football. We walked into this hotel reception, I'm telling you, it was like half the SPFL. Right. And I'm going, did you know he was one of us?
There and you go.
It's just the way it is. You know, you cannot, if you, and it's the same for referees, by the way, and journalists, right? Mm-hmm. You're in the west of Scotland, and you're into football. It's a 99% chance you support either Rangers or Celtic, right?
Course.
But see, the minute you're a football player, a referee, or a journalist, you're not allowed to be either. And you go, that's crazy. You know what I mean?
That's how we look. See, when we went to Aberdeen, that was my worry. You know, like, whose uncle was, whose dad was, were they going to accept him? And by God, after the first two or three games, they took to him big time. Because although he's a Rangers supporter, he was employed the Aberdeen football, Derek McInnes and the fans, he bought right into it. He gave them everything. So he did. And again, when he came up against, he scored a few goals against us and Celtic. But he gave everything. That's just the type of boy he is. So, but that's a creepy story. You're saying, like, you might go, I didn't know he was a Rangers supporter. That's brilliant. The next time you're watching again.
Hi, see this hotel reception? Now, there was loads of folk, like maybe Malky Murray was floating about, ex-Rangers chairman. there was a lot of Rangers hospitality people that you'd know their faces for going to the games and stuff. And then I'm like, play for Hingley. I swear to God, there must have been 10, including the boy Weary.
Right.
And Georgie, I've known him for years before he played in a first team game. So I've known his family and all that, they're all mad bears. But there was fans that are going, all over the place. Brilliant.
That's mad.
Aberdeen, you're saying about Aberdeen. I was working in the motor trade for about 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. And managing jobs and sales and all that carry on. And one of the garages we were in was getting sold. And the company I was with was Reg Vardy. And they'd said, well, you can stay with the company that's buying the garage, you'll keep your job going, mm-hmm. or stay with us. Might mean walking away from home for a wee while to get another garage. I'll do that. Guy comes in, Aberdeen garage, biggest rental garage in Europe at the time. So they run into Aberdeen. General manager comes in, says, Craig, you want to stay with the company, would you come and work for us for a few months and fill in this role? And I'm like, I'll do that. Right, no bother. Writes his name down the event. Just report to him a week on Monday. I says, I can't come. What? You told me you're coming. I can't come. I know. I said, I can't work for him. So what are you talking about? I mean, Neil Simpson, Dunne Durant. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what are you talking about? I says, mate, I'd end up fucking battering him.
Mm-hmm.
I says, I couldn't go in a night or a pint after work with that guy, let alone work mm-hmm. at home. I went, it's not happening. And he burst out laughing and he says, it's not that man you have for it. He's English, right? I nearly never took a job because I thought it was that. Him, right? Aye. And he goes up. And they used to take the buses in. Waste support into Aberdeen through this industrial estate that the garage was on.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of Saturdays in, they're playing Celtic. And the general manager's like me, see Saturday, see the game, we'll get an hour's worth of business. And it'll be there in the middle of the game on because nobody will come near here because all the mm-hmm. Celtic buses coming up and then coming away at night. He's like, I'll wash out today. We'll no see punters. I wasn't kidding, right? Guys, I'd just like to take a minute to talk to you about NordVPN, which is a company that I use their services. I use it majority of the time when I'm travelling abroad, when I want to keep up to date with the programmes I'm watching at the time, or more importantly to me, the sports that I want to watch when I'm abroad. So it doesn't matter where I am in the world, I can still watch the channels and the games and the sports that I want to. It also gives me security and some privacy that I'm looking for when I'm browsing the internet. They've got an exclusive huge discount available to viewers of the podcast. And they'll give you an additional 4 months free on top of whichever package you go on if you use our code. To get that, plus a 30-day, no quibble, money-back guarantee, all you need to do is log on to nordvpn.com/Craig, C-R-A-I-G, and that'll get you the exclusive discount plus the 4 months free on top of whichever package you go for. So go and give them a look, guys, and certainly I've had no problem using them in the times I'm travelling abroad, so I mostly use them. Thank you very much. So he's like, that's it, finished. Look, there's a bus, he's starting to come up. So I was smoking at the time. I'm like, all right, Jake Owen walked out to get a fag, so I'm standing just outside the garage, traffic lights, where the Celtic bus, he started. Now, thankfully, I wasn't the Sons of Sruth guy at that time, because one of them might have recognised my coupon and battle made that night. So I'm standing at the lights, these three buses all stuck. There's 150 that probably don't like them, right?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
General manager runs out the garage. Gone in, and I'm like, gone in, oh, what? He's like, you here to go for square goal with him? I'm like, mate, I don't know. I don't think you know how much, you know, how daft I am. But you actually think I'm, well, I know what yous are like doing it, or yous Ouija's are like. I'm like, mate, I'm not fucking stupid. 150 of them. And then they never took a job because of Neil Simpson. Uh-huh. But I think, and back to what I was saying about Lewis, you know, I'm sure I seen a clip as it started this season, scored and an assist for Juventus.
Against Juventus? Oh, aye. He's just bought into the culture and everything as well. See, Bologna, it's hard to describe unless you're there. They love him there. They just love that it's a Scottish boy. He's over there. He speaks the language. He's bought into the culture. Just there's a lot to like. And it's a... For me, as a da, you know, it's quite surreal. I mean, I love my wee trips to Italy. I love going to watch them. But when I go there, then I can enjoy myself. And what I mean by that, you know, I have a couple of wee sherbets here and there, but I can become a real supporter. I mean, I'm working.
Did you know that at Aberdeen, Derek? No.
No. which do you know what I mean? It's difficult because, you know, I'd seen the reaction when the Rangers... fans came, you know, the way that and that hatred was there, it was horrible. But it's more kind of when I go there to Bologna and it's an old fashioned stadium and just got a great feel about it. And I just love that he's happy, you know. See, at the end of the day, and I was main boys, just want them to be happy. And he's happy, he's got a great life. And I, you know, I don't know if he'll come back for a long time, you know. I think he'd like to play. One of his ambitions is to play in the English Premiership. But I could see him being there in Italy for a right few years. I mean, he signed but he's still got 4 years in his contract. So they gave him an improved offer, an improved deal, sorry, at the end of the season, because that's how much they think of him. So he didn't ask for it. They approached him, put another year on his contract and gave him improved wages. So he's in a good place.
An offer. Play him. I mean, I'll need to start. I did watch. I can't remember what game. I was flicking through the old Digibox thing months ago, and this popped up. I went, oh, yes, there. And I started watching him, and he seemed to just be controlling everything. And I'm sure he scored one coming in. He got the boss at an inside right channel, cut in with against Juve to get his goal. Would that be right? Or he set one up like that?
There's a few. He scores all different types of goals as well. But the Motta, the manager, plays him in a kind of advanced role. I thought he would be more suited, you know, in that kind of sitting role, dictating play and using his physicality. But you know, he plays him further forward and then he plays him off the wide left or a wide right. So, again, it's an absolute education. And just loving every minute.
He's 22. He's
24.
Sorry. He's got 8 years left at playing at a good level. So he stayed in Italy, even get one or two moves, because Italians seem to do that. They do a lot of moving within the country. Mm-hmm. And then, if you know, 27, 28, he could still easily get a gig in England.
Well, there's been a bit of interest there as well. You know, and you're right. They do their business differently over there. You know, so there's been a few inquiries. I'll not name any teams. So, which is nice. It's good for him. It's good for his confidence as well. So, but no, he's just happy there at Bologna. As I say, the lifestyle. I mean, Bologna's famous for its food. He likes his food, so he does. Takes us out when we go out there to some lovely restaurants. Too nice for me. So it is. I don't do
no kebabs.
I know. I don't even go there. But they're nice. I sometimes don't do posh. I don't like posh. So I hate getting dressed up, as you can see. You know what I mean? I'm casual wearing all that and trackies and all that. But takes us into some nice places. It just suits him down to a T.
Is it something you ever had an option of doing in your career?
There was talk, I mean, Nicky Walker going to Seville, believe it or not, that was under Big Jock, and also, excuse me, down to Chelsea as well, but certainly Seville, that wouldn't have floated my boat. There was no, just the reasons I gave you earlier, I didn't want to go to Hearts, you know, I wanted to stay at Rangers. Could I have done what Lewis has done? No, I'm far too immature for that, you know, so I'm a...
in your 50s.
Aye, I still couldn't do it. but he takes everything in his stride. I couldn't have done it. I'd need to have been in my playing career, 28, 29, you know, we married, the kids around me. I couldn't have done that.
What age were you in your left Rangers? I mean, you'd be... Lucy's age just now.
23, younger, 23, aye.
Still... 140, 150 games, something like that. Aye, that age,
you know, should have been more. I get that, and but then I look back and what I've said earlier. You know, when you look at some of the quality that was in that midfield, Souness, Wilkins, Durant, Ian Ferguson comes. Ian Ferguson, for St. Man, top player, brilliant guy. So it's a tough ask to get into a Rangers midfield. You know, because you're expected to win things, so. If you're no a 7, 8 out of 10, you're not getting on that side. So, you can look back and say, I should have played more, should have done this, but I tend not to do that.
Listen, you've done something 140 times more than I've ever done, and the 99.99% of people that Rangers supporters never done. So, you know, he only played 140 games by the time he was 22. You're having a laugh. It's amazing. And I think you... Shuggy, David, these, you know, recent guests that I've had on, they're all blue noses.
Aye.
And I think it's fair to say that you appreciated every minute and every game, and no regrets. You can't have any.
Privileged position, honestly. And I'm not just saying that, I'm not being blasé. Privileged position that I was there for 7 years. I look at it, I was there for, I was 12 year old till I was 23, right. Because I loved my time as an S for and been in there all the time. But the thing is, Greg, I'm still involved with Rangers in terms of. We go to kind of Q&As, we do kind of wee bit of after dinner speaking, you know, at Rangers Club. So the connection's still there, and you're still getting asked to go to these places, going up to Stornoway, Lewis and Harris, Rangers Supporter Club in a couple of weeks. You know, so they're still asking you to go and turn out. And I love that. I love that connection, still go to that connection. And somewhere down the line, I would love our Lewis to... be it. So would he, I think, but I kind of don't see that. I just see him playing abroad for a long time and then maybe in English Premiership. But I'm thankful for the career that I've had. You know, I played till I was 38 as well, yep. Played with a lot of other different clubs. If it wasn't for injury, again, my knee, I'd have kept playing because I just love the game.
Didn't you play for a team that I used to go and watch in Sunderland when I worked for Reg Vardy? They were the sponsor. Great. I worked in their Reid office down there for a good 18 months, 2 years. So any midweek games, I'd go and watch them. How did that move come about?
Well, there was a wee inquiry, obviously, because Terry was there, Terry Butcher, just testing the water. And I was asked the question, do you want to go down and have a chat? And I did. I've been doing my Bill McMurdo. Spoke to Big Terry, the plans and that, and they were in the kind of first division at that time. And I'll be honest with you, I love Big Terry Butcher as a captain. He had a real influence on me. He was a winner, so it was kind of. And I had the 3 year, and I'll be honest here. That one of the reasons was I had my first child, but she passed away after 7 weeks. We Lorne with a heart condition. So at the time, speaking to my missus, I thought we kind of change a scenery, get away, plus Terry. So we went there. So I was there for two and a half, three years at Sunderland. Wonderful people, wonderful fans. I never was probably at my best in terms of that's probably one of the times I think I look back and I'm a wee bit embarrassed that I should have done better. But certainly that first year, my head was oil the ship, you know, with the wee, and as was Carol, you know, so it was a tough time. But what I would say, the fans down there it was Roker Park, we played it. They were magnificent with me, so they were great. So enjoy. Listen, you were doing there. The great people, weren't they? Mm. I loved it doing there.
I know. I'd had an experience down there. And the time I was down there, it was the Stadium of Light they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And what a venue this was. We used to do, because we were the lead sponsor, I worked in the training department for a while.
Right.
So we would use sometimes the offices in there to deliver
sales
training. So I was in and out of the club quite a lot. And at that time, they were just building the academy, like their setup, which I've not seen. Mm-hmm. But I know a few people that have been doing, and it's apparently out of this world. Right. But that's another club that some of my Newcastle, I got a few pals that are Newcastle fans, and that only came about through a hatred of Mike Ashley when we were doing our protesting and stuff. And
right.
I became friendly with some Newcastle fans, and they watch all my podcasts, and they'll be, ah, yeah, dirty, right? You'll be getting it, I'll be getting it, right? Alec, you'll be getting it. I love the place. And I think as a club, it's a club that's lower down where it should be now. It just needs somebody to get it.
That's a big club. That's a massive. Sunderland is a massive club. So as I'm forgetting that Alec was there. Alec done really well at Sunderland. So he did. But they were just the Roker Roar, as it was called. I've not been in the stadium. I've been asked to go down two or three times today, like kind of half-time draw on that. But I'm being honest, what I said earlier, I'm a wee bit embarrassed that because I never played as well as what I should have. And I know I shouldn't feel like that, but there is just inside me that when you've no kind of gave of your best, and I wasn't at my best. I mean, I had a car crash down there as well, a bad one. I wrote off a car, but I had three were new signings. And the motor, I know, you're laughing. You know what I mean? So my head was all over the place. At times down there, and Terry
run around a bit or something.
I will, instead of going round the roundabout, I thought I'll go right through it. A big concrete roundabout. I'll just go 70 miles an hour right into it.
So there's 40 in the motor, and three new signage, and you're the one.
Everyone get injured, bar me. And when I went to see the car two or three days later, which was wrote off, the guy says it was amazing that the engine had ended up where my legs were. And it scared the shit out of me when he told that. So, again, I've said earlier, I shouldn't laugh at that because I'm accident prone sometimes. But I was, it was Ian Rogerson, Phil Gray, and big Gary Melville, big Welsh guy. They had to drag them out the motor because they were all hurt. And then I'm stoning there, I'm fine, and I'm like that. No, the only one that should have been hurt was me, and I'm
unscathed.
Crazy.
Was Big Butcher still a gaffer at the time?
Aye, he had to come and get us for the police station as well. So, which a lot of people don't know this.
You've been in a police station, Terry.
I've been in a few police stations throughout my career. So that was another one that Big Tell had to come and get me. So, and that's because he must have been going like that. Car crash.
Four of them.
Well, three are in hospital. And then he comes and gets me. So
I
get done for dangerous driving. There was no drink involved. So I get fined $2,500 and banned for a year.
See, I've got a vague memory of the thing, and I don't know how I can remember roundabout, but I just remembered it. But I couldn't remember it being that serious, to be honest.
I didn't know the place that well because it was in pre-season. So I just come round a bend. It's 70 mile an hour, which I shouldn't have been. Of course I shouldn't have. And there was a big concrete roundabout and just wallop.
Mate, the place is full of roundabouts.
Is it? Well, I found that out, didn't I, the hard way?
It's like the East Coast Braid in the Northeast.
But this was a big, I was doing it at the seafront as well. I can remember roughly.
Do you remember where the Marriott Hotel was? Right in Seaburn.
I know where Seaburn are. Right.
Marriott is in Seaburn. That's what I lived in there for 18 months.
All right.
And I think they used to put a few of the players in. See, there was a young Irish boy that at the start, maybe about 18 to 20 age.
Aye.
And he we'd be having a few beers and that, and cheery wee boy coming in having his nice, sensible dinner and disappearing up to his room at 8:30. So within 6 months, you've seen him come inside the ways with a kebab and all that, right? You're like, son, you're not going to do that, son.
I'd stayed in Durham, Royal County.
Mm-hmm.
We were in there. Stayed in there for about 6 months in the hotel. I loved it. Carol wanted it. I got to know the staff and that. Afternoon tea when you get in for training. We scone and jam and all. I loved all that. So I did. And then you had the leisure centre in the hotel. I've written about that, but there you go, forgot about that. Thanks for bringing it up, reminding me about the roundabouts in Sunderland.
You had amnesia.
Aye.
Sorry, mate.
Aye.
So you went, did you play again? You played, I remember seeing you and Barry, and I'm sure Rangers wore the red strip for some reason. That's played against Barry at Dunfermline.
Aye.
Many times you play against him?
Just the once. Just that was it.
Was it? Aye. I thought it must have been more than that.
No, that was it. They won, was it 2-0 that day? I can remember. We were in a purple.
Who's they?
What? They? See, when when you play against, and the way I remember that, because I wanted to win.
Aye.
Of course I did. The crew is that.
Who had the best in the midfield, but you're him?
Do you know something? We weren't kind of near each other. It was quite weird because he was playing a wee bit deeper, and my role at Dunfermline was to play just in front of the back four. So it was. So we never kind of came into contact a lot, to be honest with you.
Right.
But no, he had a good game. Of course he did.
Okay, got a kick on?
No, really, no. Big Amoruso and that was playing that day. And they were good to control the game. It's like, and it gives you, because I played against Rangers a number of times. You know, and you know how difficult it is. So that's the thing that you remember when you're at Rangers, when you play, you have like 70% of the play, you're controlled again. But when you go up, you're the other side of it, you know how hard it is. You don't have the ball, you've got to work your backside off, and when you get your moments, you've got to take them. But Barry played well that day, they won 2-0. And that's the only time we come up against each other.
Aye, bizarre. And my memory right enough, Rangers wore the red top. For some mad reason, got a vision of Barry with it.
He did, aye. Was it red and white? Aye. I think it was. I do remember we were in purple because it was a shocker. The purple strip, so it was. So, see
if we just take Rangers away for a minute, right? I'm just going to read this out to you. Imagine this is anybody else's career, right? Hearts, Sunderland, Falkirk, Dunfermline, Portadown, Partick, Adelaide, Ross County, Clydebank, Alloa, Hamilton, Raith Rovers. Is that it? Scotland. Twice. See if you took Rangers out of that. And still some career. Isn't it?
But the most important one is the Rangers.
It kind of helps a bit. But, you know,
I think what I'm trying to say is I love football. But I love dressing rooms. I love players. I love people. I love being in dressing rooms. I've always enjoyed that. And I think when you look at the list, I've been in some great dressing rooms. I've enjoyed it. Some great characters as well. It's been an absolute blast. I've loved that. And if I could have played, and I had a plan of attack, I stopped playing at Raith. I was 38 and a half. That was going to, I wanted to play into my 40s, but I wanted to play junior football as well. I wanted to play all the leagues, and then I wanted to finish off in the junior football. And my belief was because I think there's some good players in junior football. There's always there was this belief that it was just they kick you up and down the park. It's a physical game. I used to go and watch at times some junior games, you know, and I used to go, he could have made it, but might have been a wee bit of kind of luck here and there or for whatever reason. But I wanted to play in every kind of level. So if my knee hadn't have gave way, I would have played.
So, was it your decision, or did somebody tell you?
Surgeon told me, scared the shit out of me, told me that if I didn't stop playing, he says, you get kids? I says, aye, I've got three boys at the moment. He says, well, if you want to be running about with them, stop playing just now because your knee is in poor shape. So, I done that. So, I had to, you know what I mean? So, he scared the shit out of me.
And that first morning when you wake up and you're no going training, how does that feel?
It's a killer. So it is. And then the last thing that Carol needs, or the boys need, is an ex-football player moaning and mumping and about the house. So I had to find something else, you know. And I did. You know, and I kind of went into a bit of part-time football. So that keeps you busy, keeps you motivated. Then I started working in the schools. Done a little bit with that with a company called Soccericulum, and that was the kind of Rangers Celtic thing going into schools. The part-time stuff, I was player manager with Clydebank, for a couple of seasons, and then with Stranraer. And then I went into working with Shoe Races and Red Card, working in schools. But I quite enjoyed that. I quite enjoyed getting into the schools, not just primary, high schools, you know, a bit of coaching in the schools as well. So but keep yourself busy, keep yourself out of trouble. I think that's important to keep that going. And then podcasts and doing other wee things and still involved in the football. I mean, you need to keep busy. And that's a worry when guys are finishing their career, they've made their money, you need to find something else, you know, because you're just stir crazy. So you need to do something.
Aye, because, I mean, you went on quite a bit longer than your average professional, probably still retired, maybe 32 to 34 is probably the norm. Mm. And when you consider your time at Rangers started when you were 12, 13, so that could be 20 years out of somebody's life, man and boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly stopped. The dressing room banter stopped. The morale, the team ethos, all of this stops. And one night, some of the big bell goes ding, over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's any wonder that you see a lot of ex-players lifting into obscurity, even maybe, you know, their life becomes a shadow of what it should be. And when you see guys like yourself that are still on and still doing this, and, you know, there's no... You had a great time, and there's no, you know, you're not trying to still live off of that. You're not, oh, I wish that, you know, this was bad and I should never have left Rangers. Just go on with it.
Craig, I'm still trying to have a great time. That's a problem, for, I think, for my missus. I'm still trying to have a good time. So I don't want to grow up, to be honest, as well. So I think that's why I enjoy getting into the schools, because although I was getting a message across, I was doing it in a different way, because you're telling football stories and bringing a wee bit of humour into it. And I think that's important. It's important that you can laugh with people, you can laugh at yourself. But that's the biggest thing. You're talking about it. That dressing room. Dressing rooms are magic for the first. When you walk in, whether you're 9 o'clock in the morning, well, it's 9:30 to you go training. It's hilarious. The characters, the banter. You never get that back. Of course you don't. But you try and replicate it in other ways. So I've tried to find that. So see, I still cover games of football. I still go there. You still talk to the punters. You still get that wee buzz. It's a Saturday. You're going to a game. I love that.
Well, I think there'll be loads of people out there that have got kids that play football. There'll be kids that play football in their teenage years possibly watch these podcasts. I don't think I'm a bit old for some of them, but you never know.
You shouldn't have swore then.
No, all right. You've got a beeper. I can edit it. If you could give them one bit of advice, anybody out there that's want to emulate what you've done and, you know, copy this sort of great career that you had, what bit of advice would you give them if you could narrow it down to one?
Enjoy it. And then you're sitting down one. Just enjoy it. Listen to what people are telling you, and just be respectful. That's it. And work hard. They're simple. You see, that's the way I thought of the game. I thought, when I was playing, it was a pretty simple game in terms of your touch and get people to make a difference. But your attitude towards it, enjoy it. I mean, I think there's some guys that just think about, oh, it's going to make me rich, it's going to make me money. Don't think about that. First and foremost, it's fun. Go and enjoy it. Then you meet the characters, so you enjoy them, you respect them, and then just work hard, get your all.
Come on. Quick fire ones just to finish off, Derek. I don't think I need to ask your best player you played with. I think I can guess that would be David Cooper.
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. And I've played with some cracking players, great players. And I'm putting Souness in there as well, and the Ray Wilkins, Coop head and shoulders above him.
So taking Coop out of the equation,
right,
who's the second best player you played with?
Wee Durante's up there, of course he is. It's got to be Graham. It's got to be Graham Souness.
I don't think Durante would fall with you for that one.
No.
And best stadium you played in, apart from Ibrox?
God, that's a good question. I played abroad a few times. I'm going to go with the old Wembley. I remember playing in the old Wembley.
Schoolboy,
aye. Under 15s as well. 90,000. I remember that even. And that was all the history that comes with that against England. There's nothing each, right enough. It wasn't probably the greatest game, but aye. Wembley. That was because I remember I was talking about the Wembley turf, the surface, and it was immaculate compared to the parts that we played on. So I remember that. That was one of the that's an iconic stadium.
You're playing for Rangers months later.
I know.
Crazy, isn't it? Schoolboy International one week, playing against Swansea the next week. So see that team, was it the Scottish team at the time? Any of them going to better things than anybody in the England team that you can remember playing that went on?
Tony Shepherd was the one. He played.
Big tall bond boy.
Aye, for Celtic. David Winnie played in that side.
Morton?
St Mirren. He went up to, I think he went to Iceland as well. Big Davey.
Remember any of your opposition?
Not really, to be honest.
To be fair, I should apologise. At your age, it was 75 years ago I'm talking about.
That was a few years ago, that, wasn't it? When you, I know. I'm trying to think.
I shrugged your question last week. You went bigger than that. It was 40 years ago.
I know. It's funny how sometimes things just come to you like that. And then when you're asked, I posed a question. Do you want to know what happened? I'll be driving up the road and then I'll come into my head. I'll need to text you later.
Remember the whole England team. So, what's the biggest game you ever played in?
And this is going to sound, I don't know if it's going to sound right. Every time I turned out for the Rangers, honestly. And people go, it's a bit soppy and that. But it was, that's what, at the end of the day, we went through the teams, you talk about a kind of career, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play with Rangers. And my biggest moment was signing with Rangers, going up the stairs with my dad, coming back down, looking at him. He's happy, I'm happy. It was every time I represented Rangers.
And the hardest opponent they ever came up against? When I mean hard, tough.
Physically? Well,
aye.
Terry Hurlock. If I hadn't have got jumped about 4 foot in the air, he'd have half me in two. I was playing with Hearts, and that was, I was only at Hearts a year then, because Graham had signed them.
Aye.
So I did, to be Terry, aye. Guys like Roy Aitken as well, played against Big Roy. They were tough. Granty. Nah, Granty was all right, he wasn't that. Nah, we Terry. We used to be Captain Caveman.
Good. I remember him signing, thinking, this boy's nuts.
The other thing, he could play. It's against like John Brown syndrome. Everybody thinks Terry Hurlock, John Brown. John Brown as well, there you go. But there's a.
Who did you play against? We see
Dundee. Play, aye. But there's a wee toss up, isn't it? I'm trying to think of the two of them now. By the way, Bombers in the mix there, and all. That's a hard thing.
Aye.
I was in the. He put Souness in his backside a couple of times.
That's why he signed them. Aye. Plus he scored.
Aye. So, but we Terry, he's formidable. But like Bomber, that's what I was trying to get to. They could play. They knew the game. They could play. Good players.
What I love about that. Pick two bells. And last question about players. Who's the best player you played against?
And that's a simple one. It's easy. I played against quite a few. Like, to get a mention, our biggest rivals, you think about Paul McStay, but the best player that I played against, and I came across him as a schoolboy player with Scotland, was Paul Gascoigne.
Played against him?
Yeah, as an 18-year-old. That wasn't schoolboy football. That was under-18s, Scotland against England, up there at Pittodrie. And I was up against him. I knew then he was a genius. Because I couldn't get near him. I was 18 at the time. I was playing first-team football for about a year or two, as you know. And he still was head and shoulders above me. You couldn't get near him. You could just see his pathway. He was going to be absolutely top drawer. Then after that, I played against him a few times. Falkirk as well, against Rangers. I played against him somewhere else as well. But no, he was top man.
Different gravy, as I
say. Different. He was brilliant.
Well, listen, it's been, first of all, a privilege and an honour, just because you're one of the guys that, you know, it's gave me so much enjoyment, particularly in my youth. Bear in mind, you know, I'll be 10 when you're playing for Rangers at 15. So when you're
don't go there, you're going to start making me greet now. Come on.
Don't do that. You know, so thanks very much for that. You gave me so much enjoyment as a young boy watching the Rangers in my formative years. But again, just for the respect and that you've gave me the few times that we've met and had chats and texts and stuff like that, been absolute awesomes for me. Because that's fucking Derek Ferguson. I've got Derek Ferguson's phone number, right? It's mad.
Lewis's dad. Just say Lewis's dad. I've got Lewis's dad.
I've got Lewis's dad's phone number. So, you know, just for a personal point of view, thank you very much for all that. And I've been trying to get this podcast done for a long time, but, you know, unfortunately, my mum passed away. You were nobody. I was nobody. So it's been months. I've been desperate to do it. So thanks very much for giving me your time. Time is probably the most valuable thing anybody can give. And appreciate you giving me this time today, and I'm sure the Bears all love you for it. So, is there anything that you want to talk to say before? You know, anything, didn't he touch that you were keen to talk about before we finish up?
Aye, just want to win on Sunday, get into the final League Cup. So we've got Hearts coming up on Sunday. So we're into a wee bit of decent form. That 5-0 win against Dundee. It's been a long time coming, so a wee bit of confidence instilled in some of the boys which they've needed. So. We've got a big Sunday coming up and a wee happy birthday to my dad. My dad's birthday's on Sunday, brilliant. November the 5th.
Brilliant. Well, listen, again, thanks very much. It's been a great, nearly 2 years, mate. A day or so of time, I say to folk about an hour of your time, and they just get blaring. So listen, it's been great, and I'm sure the boys watching it will love us. We'll get out as soon as I can. And just thanks very much again for being Derek Ferguson.
No problem. Good man.
Enjoy that. Ask a little favour. I really appreciate the efforts some of you are investing into the channel, simply watching the videos. But to help the channel grow, what I would love for you to do is hit the subscribe button if you enjoy the channel. And if there's any particular podcast you enjoy, please hit the thumbs up for like button. It will do massive things for the channel if we can do that. And thank you very much for your continued support and feedback.